Good evening. I would like to call tonight's Kendall County Board meeting adjourned September meeting from for March 5th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Roll call, please.
Ms. Sussage?
Present.
Ms. Flowers?
Present.
Mr. Giles?
Here.
Ms. Gilmore?
Here.
Mr. Greider?
Present.
Ms. Hendricks?
Present.
Mr. Kellogg? Mr. Prochaska?
Mr. Kellogg will not be here.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. For our March meeting, it should be warming up, but not just 13 degrees.
Our personalities and the discussion.
I'm sure it will. Expect a very robust debate this evening, Mr. Purcell.
Really?
May I have a motion to approve the county board minutes from February 5th, 2019?
So moved.
Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Flowers. Discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Well, hang on. I would like to remove item 11C1 so that the state's attorney can take a look at that. There's a question as to whether it complies with OMA, so we want to make sure that it does.
Is that it?
And so could I have a motion to approve the agenda as written, excluding item 11C1?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Motion by Hendricks, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Special recognition. Citizens to be heard. Ms. Kloss, you're first up. You have 5 minutes, if you could just say your name for the
Okay. Record. Well, now you all know who I am. And the reason that I'm here this evening is in regards to an overpayment of my property taxes. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the assessment office and added the 65-year-old exemption to my property taxes. I spoke with Cheryl. And while she was entering the information, it was discovered that I was not listed as owner-occupied. She explained that she had changed my status to not owner-occupied because the sale of my property on Highview had not been recorded yet. For whatever reason, the paperwork was not entered until September of 2013. I was never notified of any changes. I called and spoke with Mr. Nicoletti to obtain a copy of Cheryl's job responsibilities. During that conversation, he had also said that he reviewed my situation. His explanation was in January of 2013, the previous owners of the property were no longer owner-occupied. Then the home was purchased by TNT Investors Incorporated. The property was purchased to flip and sell, hence not owner-occupied. In August of 2013, I purchased my property owner-occupied. Mr. Nicoletti states that the system had to be manually manipulated to show the correct ownership status for 2013, and mine, the owner-occupied, just got missed when the owner-occupied statuses were re-entered. Whichever situation you choose, the end result is still the same. Human error caused me to pay approximately $2,500 in overpayment of my property taxes. Now, I know it's my responsibility to call and check my taxes, and I did that when I received my first tax bill because it was much higher than I had anticipated. I called and spoke with Mr. Nicoletti. My new tax bill was in my hand. I was asking questions. We never went over the exemptions. Illinois state statute states that I can only go back 1 year for a correction of this. In light of that, I have filed a complaint with the Illinois Attorney General's office for an audit of policies and procedures that need to be done when someone is changing an owner exemption on paperwork that they're entering. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a Richard Schoon? Okay. Any others, citizens to be heard? Say your name for the record. You have 5 minutes.
Todd Nolan, Yorkville. I will wait to talk about the proposed change to citizen comments till it comes up on the agenda again. It's something I have some deep concerns about, but I'll talk about those when it's on the agenda for a vote. At 5:42 p.m. tonight, I sent an email to the county board site. All 10 of you would have got it, along with Scott and Mr. Weiss. In that email, I expressed some concerns about whether the Kendall County Sheriff's Department gun range is actually an insured location on the county insurance policy. The schedule of locations for the 2018-2019 policy period does not indicate 6925 Route 71, Yorkville, as a declared location. Because of that, I question whether that location is actually being insured. It's something that gun range, I think, came into range, according to my research, around 1993. I had reviewed the 2011-2012 declaration pages of the IRS, ICRLMT policy, and it wasn't on there then. Something I brought up in the email, there's a thread to that email, you can see it, from 2012. In that email, I expressed my concerns then about that, and it appears it hasn't been addressed to date. Gun range needs to be properly insured. It may not have been ever insured since the summer of 1993. It appears the gun range was erected as a temporary gun range, according to the committee minutes I was able to get. During that time period, it appears the board was advised about the gun range in a very limited manner, at the committee level only. My research indicates the county board at that time and since has never taken a full board vote to formally approve and accept this gun range, nor was any public hearing ever held regarding the government gun range. County PBZ records only show a stormwater permit was applied for and approved. That's it. No additional oversight or review was ever done by this board. Only now is a solution being discussed for the temporary gun range, and that is something that will be done on a regular order basis soon, starting at the County Plan Commission level with a scheduled public hearing. Meanwhile, 13 some law enforcement agencies continue to make reservations at the Kendall County Sheriff's Department gun range. I stated my concerns about having a designated minimum insurance requirement for others to use our gun range in 2012. It's something that you just recently went over in your committee meeting for HR admin, and I don't know if it was addressed there or not, but I'm bringing this to your attention. So I had asked at that point in time that a waiver of subrogation for work comp and general liability plus provisions for primary and non-contributory general liability be specified and declared with limits by this board. I still feel those endorsements are necessary. Those same endorsements were recently required by the Save the Jail group for their Monopoly fundraiser event by State's Attorney Weiss for the County of Kendall and the Kendall County Forest Preserve. I know, because I was the agent that wrote that policy to comply with those county insurance requirements. Mr. Baird and his department wants to continue to rent out the Kendall County gun range to others, then please mandate, specify minimum insurance requirements for others to use our gun range, and listing the County of Kendall as an additional insured with recommended endorsements listed at the end of this thread. So when you see that email, you'll see that it's at the end of what I had recommended back in 2012. Please check to see if the Kendall County gun range is actually being insured by the ICRMT, and that the IMCRT has accepted the associated risk with insuring a government gun range. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens to be heard? You'd say your name for the record, and you have 5 minutes as well.
Chris Pollock of Yorkville. I've been doing this for many years now, it seems. Recently, we thought we were making some progress. Now it seems like it's at a standstill. I passed out the 2018 Kendall County Sheriff's Department range shooting schedule, showing over 240 days were booked last year. This year, through a FOIL request, it was recently denied from the Sheriff's Department to provide a copy of the upcoming schedule. The denial states it would jeopardize the safety of the officers there even though this is a gated area without access from the public, why all of a sudden is this a safety concern that we can't find out which days are being utilized, which will be almost every day starting April 1st? Don't we have the right to know where the constant sound of gunfire is coming from? Recently, on February 27th, my family listened to the sound of gunfire echoing through our windows. We made a call to the Sheriff's Department, who again stated there was nothing illegal being done, probably because it was coming from the Kendall County Sheriff's Department gun range. My wife noticed two cars parked at the end of our property, finding out it was the sheriff and a county board member. It turns out the sheriff called a board member out to listen to the sounds. Why is the sheriff calling board members to have them come out to our place? We are the complainants. How about if we call a board member when the shooting is at its peak, not after it has all subsided? Let's get this straight. As the months approach and it gets warmer out, the shooting is every day after April 1st. Last month, the Kendall County Sheriff's Department, Naperville PD, Aurora PD, and Forest Park PD all shot at the sheriff's range. Now this is what I'm not understanding. In November of last year, through FOIA, I requested a copy of the permit or existence of the Kendall County Sheriff's Department shooting range off Route 71. Again, the response was, there is no record of this facility existing. So if I already did the research and found out the facility does not have a permit to exist, why is it still open today? If this was a gun range owned by a private citizen, would it continue to be open as of tomorrow? What else do we have to do? Why doesn't the board make an inquiry if this facility is permitted, and if not, close it immediately? Can you imagine the liability from the Kendall County taxpayers if an accident happens at this unpermitted facility, and even worse, if someone is accidentally shot? What is it going to take? We did the homework. I hope the board will finally act on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens to be heard? You say your name, and you also have 5 minutes.
My name is Renee Pollock, Yorkville. This is my daughter. We tried to bring this video once before to you, and it wasn't working. So I guess I'm here to defend my legitimate complaints on hearing loud gunfire in our, you know, that rattles our windows. So in 2016, both board member Matt Prochaska and Deputy Commander Langston heard this exact video that we recorded of this gunfire. So my daughter will play that. Bear with us because there is some peace and quiet. It's early on Sunday morning, so this is just the start of it.
I think you're still connected.
Just to let you know, this is always easy for residents to videotape. I've deleted a lot of things.
It's about 10:39 on Sunday. It's my husband's and my 24th wedding anniversary.
2016.
And this is what we wake up to. This is Sunday. Just going to play a few sounds, wonderful sounds for you.
That's sarcasm. Three years later, we're still being questioned whether or not these sounds are real. These are real. I don't care if the sheriff department wants to say that I'm
another gun club. Two more gun clubs over here.
What do they say? Magnifying
these shots
the
sounds? Doesn't appear to be coming from
I'm a house. I'm just
gun
a mother.
Club.
I'm old school.
This appears
I don't
to be coming
just
off
any.
The Fox River over here. Pretty close to Vianna. This is what our taxpayers pay our high taxes to listen to. 7 days a week.
10,000
no
a year.
No respect.
10,000 a year. This is like another mortgage. That's not
no
even
respect
our mortgage.
For our wildlife, our veterans, our pets. I'm told that NOLA doesn't start shooting until noon. This is just the warm-up from others.
I, at this time, too, after this, talking on the video, I called Keith Wheeler's office, and he was hearing this, and I was yelling at the time, and he also got this message on his answer machine since they're all closed on Sunday. A lot of this stuff happens on Saturday and Sunday where your state representatives
are
not.
Okay, I think
working.
You got it. We're going to drive and see if we can locate where the shooting is closer.
And we do this a lot. We jump in our cars and we try to find the location since our leaders can't do this for us. So when you call the sheriff's department and they want to give you a runaround, so we found the location. That location was Barbara Green. We are now in Knollwood, which they're supposed to have a locked gate at Knollwood. There are people that have told me in stories that there is underage drinking at parties at this Knollwood, and they're auctioning off rifles to these young kids that are drinking. So maybe the sheriff's department should be sitting outside that gate picking up these people on this. So I just drove in. Anybody's allowed to drive in. This is the cars driving in right now through that gate. I'm parked there. People coming in. The gate's open. Anybody can come in, as I don't need to be invited. Now, that sound there is not as loud as what you heard before. And that other sound came from two blocks away from my home.
No, you said that's Barbara Green.
And all the people from Knollwood said that sound is coming from Barbara Green. So we do know where the sound's coming from. We know whether it's, now this is at night now. This is dark time. Same day, off my patio, front door patio, which I think I explained to you, my deck that overlooks our pond.
It's
and I have video.
On November 6th, we're still hearing bangs. This one seems to be coming from Route 71.
Off to the right of me, where there is a cornfield where DNR will hunt there, and along that property is
You're at your 5 minutes, but if your daughter wants to continue, then you can continue.
Biking and
you want to continue?
Hang
on a second. If you want to continue to say your name for the record, so, and I'll flip it over.
Do you want to continue?
Just listen. Use your 5 minutes and then just.
So, I'm Mary Pollock.
Mary Pollock.
Fort Cardinal.
Thank you.
Can I speak for her? This is just
everyday noise.
I just want.
It's unusual to let you continue, so if you want to add to it, that's fine. I'll let you do that.
That's just. I'm talking.
Shitty.
Past dark. Excuse me, I'm still talking.
Do you have anything else for us to?
And if this is still the 4th of July celebration,
we got the
November
5 minutes,
6th.
So if you don't mind, we're just gonna it'll.
It's a 5 minutes for public comment.
We get
the sense.
Pardon?
We do understand what what we're hearing. I guess it's just it's for public comment.
Right. Right. Just don't insult our intelligence. Is all I ask.
Thank you. Any other citizens to be heard? All right. There is a need for executive session for the purpose of
Number 11, litigation when an action against affecting or on behalf of a particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered in the minutes of the closed meeting.
Thank you. May I have a motion?
Do you want to do it now?
Yeah, I'd like to.
So move.
Mr. Purcell?
Second.
A bunch of them. Ms. Gilmore. Roll call.
Ms. Sesich?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Sure. We're back in regular session. New business, auditor report. Oh, I didn't know this. We had a thing.
A whole presentation.
I didn't even see you sitting there.
Okay. Everybody keeps asking me. I thought everybody had it. You just go to the edit deal.
Is that what this is?
Oh, you got it. Damn it.
What's that?
Teacher's pet, teacher's pet.
All right, I just click this.
I need to turn the light off.
All right. I'm Tanya Mack with Mack & Associates, and if it's too dark for you to see the audit, we can forego the slides. You guys just let me know if you'd rather...
I'd rather have the lights on.
You'd rather have the lights on? That's fine.
Anybody else? Well, because I want to...
It's all going to be up... I mean, for the most part, it's all going to be up there.
Yeah, but I can't write
but,
on that.
Yeah, that's fine. So just want to walk through first our audit process, which is up there. So before your year-end is even... concluded, we do come out for interim field work. We come out for about a week and a half, where we're out here doing all of our interviews and testing with all the departments and offices. So a lot of our testing is done during that time period. After year end, we do come out for a week and tie out balances, verification of bank accounts, and additional interviews if necessary. Subsequently, we come back out to review accounts receivable and payable in January, once you've had about 60 days, so we can verify all your accounts payables and accounts receivables to verify that those are in there properly. And then we wrap up and draft the audit report, which generally takes 3 to 4 weeks in the office. Bear with me. This is new for me using this little PowerPoint here. So the first three pages in your auditor's report are the actual report itself. It states basically all the points that are up there. The management responsibility is preparation of your GAAP basis financial reports. Kendall County is on a modified accrual basis, meaning while you maintain your books on a cash basis throughout the year, your audit is on a modified accrual, meaning we do record those receivables and payables in the audit report. It lists out our responsibility here for expressing an opinion on the audit, and we did have a clean, unmodified opinion for the year. The next section is your management discussion analysis, which provides you financial highlights, overviews of the financial statements, and just a good section to read through if you just want to read through a section rather than flipping through all these 200 and some pages. The next section, which is Statement A, starting on page 15, this is the statement of net position. On this statement, your primary government is going to basically be your entire governmental activities. You can see there the component unit for the Forest Preserve is on the far right column. And I'm just going to go through comparatives for totals this year. 2018 versus 2017 total current assets of $76.9 million compared to $76.8 million last year. Non-current, which would be your notes receivable and your capital assets, of $142.9 million for a total assets at year end of just under $220 million. Total deferred outflows for pensions would be $9,600,000. Liabilities, current liabilities of $5.8 million, which is down slightly from last year.
Total non-current would be any lease payables, your pension liabilities, and any bonds payable are at $35.8 million compared to $44.5 million from last year. You can see the significant decrease in the pension obligation. And as we go through this, the pension obligation is something that you get an actuarial report each year that determines those numbers that go in your audit report. The numbers that we're looking at for the 2017 fiscal year are the actual calendar year 2017 numbers. So when we're looking at theirs, we're nearly 11 months kind of behind on those numbers because the current year has not been issued yet. So when you're looking at these, December of 16 compared to December of 17, the market did much better in 17. So you're going to see those numbers kind of change pretty largely in that year because of the market changes. Deferred inflows for resources then of $33.3 million compared to $26.9 million last year.
I'm sorry, can you describe why that is for the deferred inflows?
You're looking at, so the main one is, again, your pension mm-hmm. obligations. Okay. So when we go through the pension footnote, you'll kind of see all those changes. And it's really, the actuary has a lot of factors that go into it. And really drives those numbers. And like I said, the market, how the market's doing drives those numbers as well because they have a projected rate of return and depending on how the market does in relation to that. Your net position at the bottom of the page of $154 million compared to $152 million last year. The next page, let me flip over here one more. So the net position, this is just an analysis we did here for you for your unrestricted, restricted, and net investment in capital. So you can see the majority of your net position is in your investment in capital. That's obviously a big portion. So it's not that you actually have the cash sitting on hand, but it's invested in capital assets, net of related debt. The government-wide statement of activities on page 16. And what this statement is looking for is do the program revenues under each function of the governmental activities cover the expenditures for that function? So you can see the expenses are listed in the first section of $55.4 million, and then you have your program revenues, so your charges for service, operating and capital grants and contributions. Those are listed there separately, and then provide your total shortfall, which is then funded by property taxes, sales taxes, and other taxes, which is your general revenues, comes down to $40.8 million. So your net change in position here for the year is $1.9 million increase in your net position at year end. On page 17, and before I get there, this section here, if you can see it up there, just breaks down your revenues by function. And if you'd like, we do have the slide that we can email you a PDF copy just so you can review that as well. And then the next section is your expenses broken down comparative 2017 versus 18, so you can see where your expenses are falling out there. On the balance sheet, so page 17 is the balance sheet. You can see here totals for 2018 comparative to 2017, and we've provided the balances by funds up there as well. And you can see on page 17, total cash on hand at year end of $48.9 million, which is down slightly from last year of $49.4 million. Your receivables there are listed due from the state, notes receivable, and other receivables due to other from other funds, your inventories, and then your prepaid expenditures. So any expenditures that you've paid prior to year end for after December 1st. Generally, that's your health insurance and things like that that you have to pay before that December 1st date. So total assets at year end of just under $54.2 million compared to $55.7 million last year. Liabilities of $3,023,000, which is up from $2.3 million last year. Total fund balance at year end of $51.1 million, which is down from last year's $53.3 million. The next page on page 18 just reconciles back to statement A, bringing in those capital items as well as your debt obligations there. The next page, page 19, this is the statement of revenues, expenditures, and changes in fund balance. Total revenues for the year of $55.8 million compared to $54.5 million last year. total expenditures of $57.9 million, which is up from $56.1 million last year. Brings us to the next page. You can see the various transfers in and out there going between funds of $8.7 million for a net change in fund balance of $2.1 million decrease to $51.1 million at year end. And you can see one of the big areas is your your transportation sales tax, and we'll go through some of these major funds in the back, but you can see where those changes come into play there. Yes?
These last couple pages, when you're talking 53, that's cash or cash equivalents. We're not talking any physical assets or pensions, are we?
We are talking cash, receivables, less payables.
Okay.
It's a net of that, but does not have any capital items or debt obligations or anything like that in there. It's just current activity. So your cash on hand plus current receivables and current debt, current payables. Okay, and then page 20, On page 21, this statement just reconciles back up to statement B, bringing in those capital and debt obligations. On page 22, this shows your fiduciary funds. So your working cash fund of $100,000, and then your agency funds, which are funds that are held within the county offices that are held for others, basically. And you can see that's at $15.7 million, and we'll go through those in the back of the audit report as well. And then you have your liability insurance fund at $62,000 at year end.
What is it, a working cash fund?
Your working cash fund has been $100,000 for probably 20 years.
I don't remember.
It was $100,000 when I started doing this audit years ago, very long time ago. So it's never changed. And I believe you do earn interest in that, and the interest is then transferred out to the general fund when that interest becomes due. Yeah, this year there was no activity even, so it must have not been a time when that actually became, that interest was paid. And then page 23 shows the activity of that working cash fund and your liability insurance program there. So you can see the activity there on those. The next section is the notes to financial statements. There's not a whole lot I'm going to go through there. There's just a few notes that I do want to point out to you. Your capital assets are on page 39. And this just shows you your capital asset activity for the year, so you can tie that back up to the front financial statements. On page 39 is the county, and then on page 40 is the Forest Preserve component unit. On the bottom of page 40 is your long-term debt obligations for the county. So you can see beginning of the year of $33.7 million, and then end of the year of $30,100,000 with the current amount due of $2.3 million for the upcoming year. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
The Forest Preserve is a component unit of the county. So it does say here that this is capital asset activity for the Kendall County Forest Preserve. So it kind of qualifies that section so you know that it's for the Forest Preserve. And you do have in your audit here, you're going to see different entities' information because while it's not necessarily the county, it's part of the county. And because the Forest Preserve is a major component unit of the county, that is required to be reported here. Okay.
So is the note 5 regarding the Forest Preserve as well?
Note 5. So anywhere up top where you see it says long-term debt and then it says primary government, that is all going to be county. Then if you jump to the bottom of page 42, you see the component unit for the Forest Preserve, that is there on page 42, which kind of keeps going through 44, 45. So that does show up there as well.
So 42 is the Forest Preserve?
On the bottom of 42 starts the Forest Preserve.
So 40 is the county.
40, 41, and the top of 42 is the county.
Except for note 4, is the Forest Preserve? That's what I'm
confused about. Note 4, page 39 is the county. Top of page 40 is the Forest Preserve.
So note 4, top of page 40.
Yep, see where it says capital asset for the county on page 39, the top sentence?
Capital asset activity for the county, yes.
That's county. The next page, capital asset activity for the Kendall County Forest Preserve.
So then note 5, because it doesn't specify that it's Forest Preserve, it's county.
Note 5 is the county. When you flip to page 41, it says general obligation bonds, primary government. The primary government means county. Anytime that that's referenced, the primary government is the county as a whole.
So is it fair to say if it's referencing the Forest Preserve, it will specifically call Forest Preserve?
Yes. So then when you look at page 42 in the middle, it says general obligation bonds, component unit, Kendall County Forest Preserve District. See where it says that on page 42?
42.
Like two-thirds down the page.
Wow, is it possible to organize that differently for the next time?
We can. It's similar to prior years, but we can definitely do that.
I think that would be helpful.
Not a problem.
Thanks.
Okay. The next pages, I'll point out, your IMRF footnote starts on page 46, but we'll jump to page 47. On the bottom of 47, this is just your membership information. I feel like this is a good footnote to take a look at. So you can see, and where it says RP, that means regular plan. SHLEP is your sheriff's law enforcement plan, and then ECO would be your county officials. So you can see your retirees and beneficiaries' current receiving benefits, your inactive non-retired members, and then your current active members that are working.
So we have over 800 people
No, your active members would be those working, not yet receiving benefits, and then the inactive, not retired, would be people that have left the county but have earned benefits and are not yet drawing them.
Mm. Okay, so this is all...
That's everyone that's in your plan. Yes. Only the top ones are currently drawing.
Okay.
Can't put that equals two times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Inactive, non-retired. You said explain that to me one more time.
Inactive, non-retired means they've left the county. So they may have
they may be
working somewhere else. They may be have left and are not at full retirement age yet. You have some liability for them. And honestly, some of those people, their liability could be very low because they could have been here for a year. You know, you with those ones, that's kind of a gray area. Your retirees are people that are actually currently receiving benefits. That's that first line.
How well do you understand that?
You know,
go on, that's fine.
No, I do, the thing is with the IMRF, I feel like they give you an actuarial report that obviously has merit. They've actuarially determined those numbers, but it's based on estimates. So to me, you're giving you numbers that you have to report in your audit report based on estimates. You're estimating people's useful, you know, you're estimating people's years that they've worked or going to keep working. You're estimating how long are they going to live after they retire. I mean, there's so many estimates that go into these factors. And while I understand it's necessary to report it here, you're estimating a lot of numbers. And you'll see when we get to the next couple pages how much it's changed from one year to the next based on their estimates.
I was going to say, so that's a pretty wiggly number.
Very much so.
So okay. Here's a question. I'm not quite sure how to phrase this. No, it isn't, but it will in a moment. Is the heavier weight, and you referenced an employee who might switch different employers, but let's say they're all IMRF. Is there a heavier weight given to the employer who employs them the last several years of their employment?
Is it even weighted?
So, what they earn when they're with Kendall County, so let's just say they're with Kendall County for 10 years, then they move and go somewhere else for 10 years, there's going to be where both of you are they're drawing from both of your plans, so to speak, when they retire. Their years of service and the wages they were making and their contributions that they made here are going to be weighted on how they draw out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, is it different for you if you have someone here for 10 years or four people here for 2.5 years, not really, unless their wages are significantly different.
So
I don't know if that really...
It depends on that,
plus
their longevity,
as well as how early do they retire, how long do they live after they retire. I mean, there's so many factors that go...
It smooths that line, essentially, because of all the differences, it's smoothing that line over time.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, and then on page 48 just shows you for those three plans, the plan members contribute for the regular plan and the officials plan 4.5%, for the sheriff's law enforcement 7.5%, and then you can see the contribution rates for both calendar years 2017 and 18. And then you see your actual contributions for the fiscal year, I'm sorry, the calendar year 17 as well as your fiscal year 18. So you can see how much did the county contribute in each of those areas for both the calendar year as well as fiscal year.
I'm sorry, where's the comparison 17 to 18?
On page 48, right in the middle. That actual, in that, right in the middle in that section there that has that table. If you see actual contributions,
they're one on top of the other.
Yep. The yeah, because we have to break out the regular sheriffs and the ECO. So the actual would be for the calendar year of 17, and the then the actual for 18 is the fiscal year.
The contribution by the employees is the only portion of this that's fixed.
That has been fixed forever.
The
yes.
Variable part is the investment return.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, the difference is not just kept in, and that's what the county returns.
Right. And they send out a contribution notice in the fall for here's your new rate for the new calendar year.
And I thought I read once, and again, maybe you don't know this, or maybe you do. I thought I read that they figure on their investment return, they look at a 3-year rolling average.
They do.
To kind of smooth it out a little
right.
bit.
Okay. Right.
Okay. So this last year when investments dropped, is it going to impact us?
It will.
But the previous 2 years were relatively high, so.
Right. Okay. You're going to see a drop most likely next year where your rates will probably go up a little bit.
Right. Okay.
But it's not going to be a huge spike because, again, they average it. Because, I mean, if you tried to keep up with the market, it'd be
right.
up and down
it's
all the time. Through. Yeah. Okay. All right. Then I'm going to jump back. If you just, the next page on page 49, this gives you, so again, your balances at December 31st of 16, and then gives you all the changes for this year that were assumed to come up with your balances at December 31st of 17. So, like I said, there's a lot of changes, there's a lot of assumptions that go into this. You can see right in the middle, differences between expected and actual experience, $1.6 million. So that's their what they expected to happen last year and what actually happened last year, their differences. So, like I said, there's a lot of estimation going on here with these numbers.
But it still shows, and I get what you're saying, but still shows actuarially, after a very good investment year, we have a net overall combined deficit of 7.5%, almost 8%.
Right, your net pension liability at year end was $8.1 million.
Out of $106 million, so
yeah,
8% roughly.
Right, and the thing is, everyone that's working here is not going to retire today. You're not going to see that actually come to fruition.
Not
so,
today, but
right.
The key to me, and I've been preaching this for a while, is the trend. The trend is your friend, as they say in gambling. And I don't want to gamble. And the long term, and just keep doing what the state's done, and just keep that can down the road.
Right.
That's my speech for the moment.
How do you find that measures as a par?
Based on other counties,
right.
I would say you guys are actually low based on where other counties are at.
Low.
Your net pension obligation is lower than some of the other counties.
So our funded
are we
percentage
funded?
Is higher.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Sorry, we panic when we hear.
No. No. I mean, I have some that. It's in the tens of millions,
right.
So in the upper tens of millions. So, no, I mean, while it's something to be concerned with, obviously, because you as a board have to not only think about how you're funding retirement today, but how are you funding retirement in the future, I feel like your funding percentage is higher than probably most.
Tanya, do you recall, and I know we can look it up, I just don't recall, when the market, well, let's back up, the real estate market, when everything was growing crazy 10 years
ago. 2004, 2006 area.
Yeah.
Yep.
Finally, 2009.
Yep.
But before that, I seem to recall that our net position was probably 105, 110%. It was over 100%.
Well, and here's the thing.
It
has only been the last 4 years. This would only be your fourth year of actually reporting this information in your financial statements.
Okay, so then it would have been something I would have seen from reports that Jill might have.
Right, because you would have never, like, this information in detail like this was never reported until about 4 years ago was when they started requiring this to be put into the financial statements.
I know at one time we were 105, 110.
Right, and there was a little schedule in the back that had a 10-year history, and that's probably what you're talking about.
Okay.
It's a lot more involved now than it used to be then with the calculations they do.
Okay.
Other?
Sorry, which page are you on there?
It's over $1 million. What's
yes,
other?
No, other. That is what they deem in the actuary as other. Other. That is what it's called in the actuary report. Absolutely. Yeah. No, we take this footnote comes word for word from your actuarial report.
Okay. Awesome.
So.
Other.
Yeah.
$1 million. Everybody take it.
I know.
Okay.
All right. Right. Right.
It's not like it's $10. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. I don't know if you could tell my feelings on this. Yeah. All right. Page 62. This is your general fund. Jumping ahead. All right. Page 62. So on this page just gives a summary, and then we'll go through the revenues and expenses in a little bit more detail. But you can see total revenues, and we're right in the middle of that page, the actual column. Total revenues for the year of $24 million, which is up from your budget and also up from your actual $23.3 last year. Total expenditures of $25.9 million, which is down from your budget by about $500,000 and also down, up from last year's expenditures of 25.65. Then you see all the transfers coming in of 3.6 million, transfers going out of 440,000 for a net change in fund balance of 1,359,000, increasing that fund balance to 17.3 million. We generally recommend for your general fund 6 to 9 months operating cash on hand. Only because you do end your fiscal year at November 30th. You are waiting generally 5, 6, 7 months for your property taxes to come into your funds. So you want to make sure that you have that operating cash on hand. Yes.
On page 62, the original and final appropriations, this is showing we appropriated $24,000 for drug court, but we actually only used $12,000?
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay.
And that's actual not used. That's transfers coming into the general fund.
Okay.
So those are transfers that you had estimated $24,000 would come in from drug court and only $12,000 did.
Okay. All right, thank you.
But this is like the first or second year of the drug court, right?
Right.
This is just the first year's reporting, right?
Okay.
Anybody? Matt for Jaska? That's where's the first year of the drug court reporting, right?
Second, I think.
Because
it was a partial
really
last year.
Because like
okay.
It just started,
yeah.
So okay.
Yeah.
You graduated
this year,
it
was
the
first class.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This was cash and receivables, correct?
It was the first class,
modified
yeah.
Accrual?
Modified accrual, yes. So that includes all receivables and payables at November 30th.
So the transfers in, that's where the biggest difference was.
Mm-hmm. And you can see the majority of it was the building project that you had. $850,000 was transferred from your capital.
Which building project are you referencing?
Jill, do you know the $850,000 transferred in what building project?
That came from the highway.
Oh, that building fund.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I remember that now. That's how I was trying to do. I was thinking the improvement we did in public safety, so that wasn't
that's what I was too, because it was this about the same.
This was the, okay.
The money that
yes.
I know, I like that.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Then on pages 63 and 64, this is additional detail on the revenue breakout. So breaks down those revenues line by line. I won't go through those in detail, but if you have any questions, like I said, feel free to stop me. You can see total intergovernmental did increase by about $250,000. That's in the middle of page 63. Total fees and fines increased there as well, up to $4,042,000, up from $3.7 million last year. Total licenses and permits were pretty consistent, about $7,000 increase. Interest was up about double from last year. And then your other revenue was down slightly, about $4,000. So total revenues, again, at $24.1 million. Total expenditures on page 65. This breaks it out by department. So you can see each department where they were at. The variance with the budget, if it is, and this is a bit confusing, but if it is negative, they are under budget. So negative means they did not spend all of their budget. If it is a positive number in that variance column, they were over budget, meaning they spent more than they had budgeted. And then the next several pages are the detail line by line within each of those expenditure lines. So page 65 is the expenditures within each department, so department breakout. Okay. And then the next several pages breaks those down even further. So you can see, like, page 66 shows facilities management, and it shows each line within there. So you can see a line-by-line detail of that. And that goes on for several pages. On page 75 is the total there. So, again, total expenditures of $25.9 million. Which is down from your budget of 26.4 and up from last year's $25,065,000.
How many counties are you auditing now?
Four: Grundy, Kendall, Livingston, and LaSalle.
How about municipalities?
Oh.
Roughly.
150,
160. You have that many municipalities?
We do.
So here's what I was getting at. Our expenditures, we came in about 2% under budget on the expenditure side. Is that about normal, what you see?
With a county, yes. We like to see, I mean, you're operating your general fund. We like to see the general fund. Some of your other funds, you're going to see bigger variances just depending, like highway's a big one.
Right.
Sometimes projects you think are going to happen don't happen, or a project moves faster than you anticipate. So highway, we tend to see those kind of ups and downs. But within a general fund, we like to see it under a 5% budget change.
Okay.
Yes.
If it's more than 5%.
If it's more than 5%, we feel like you're budgeting unrealistically.
Okay.
And
so this is not out of line with what you've seen?
No, not at all.
Okay. Thank you.
On page 76 is your IMRF, Social Security Fund. Total revenues here of $4.8 million. Total expenditures of $4.3 million. You have transfers in from other funds of $84,000 and an increase here of $601,000 up to $2.7 million. This is one fund that we do like to definitely see that balance, again, at 6 to 9 months operating cash on hand, because the only revenue source is property tax here. So
that's not the only, is it? Don't you get some from the employee contributions?
You have replacement tax, and then, yes, your payroll contributions, but those don't show up as an expense here.
Oh.
You know, those are, this expense here is just the county's portion of the expense.
Okay.
The payroll obligations, those come out of their checks and are a liability that go right back out.
Cash flow, you do get some cash flow.
The only other cash flow is those $85,000 that comes in from the other departments, as well as you have $173,000 of replacement tax that goes in there. That's really
what you're saying is you're showing the employee contribution as a wash.
Right.
Well,
okay.
It's their money, right? So we don't.
Right. Yeah. It would go in as a liability, and then when you pay it would come off as a liability.
Okay.
It never hits your income statement.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Transportation sales tax. Total revenues in of $5.1 million, comparable to last year. Total expenditures this year of $7.5 million. And you can see this is one of those funds that, you know, you're up and down. Your expenditures last year were $5.2 million. You have transfers in and out of this funds, so your net change in fund balance here is a decrease of $2.4 million down to $6.8 million at year end. public safety sales tax on page 78. Total revenues here of $5,030,000. Your transfers out of $5.1 million for a decrease here of $157,000, bringing that fund balance down to $3.5 million at year end. Pages 79 and 80 is your health funds. Total revenues of $4,093,000, which is up from last year's $3.9 million. Total expenditures on page 80 of $4.8 million, up from $4.4 million last year. And then if you flip the page to page 81, total transfers in of $863,000, transfers out of $603,000 for a net change in fund balance here of $505,000, decreased to $2.6 million at year end. Those are what are considered your major funds of the county. The next few schedules are additional IMRF information that I'm not going to go over unless anyone has any questions. I'm going to flip back just a little bit here. I'm sorry. What's that? That was all that pension information that we were talking about there. So your, let's see.
Better than most.
Better than most. If you look on page 82, this is your regular plan. So you can see on your regular plan, you are about 98.8% funded. The next page is your sheriff's law enforcement plan, which shows 85.5%. And then
everybody has to retire the same day, essentially.
Right. I mean, that's trouble, right? Yeah. I mean, yes, if everybody retired today, you'd be in a lot of trouble because you'd have no employees contributing and you'd have a lot of money going out in benefits. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So
otherwise, that's pretty good.
Right.
So
okay.
If the sheriff's the SLEP plan, if we decided to put more money into that with it because it's at 85.
Right. You could, and historically we do see, I mean, that plan is a much higher, I mean, right, much higher contribution rates, and you generally have people that are retiring a little bit earlier, we notice in that demographics too, where and they're getting, their payouts are a lot more. Mm-hmm. So that's why that one is generally funded less than the other ones, because that's a more expensive plan, basically.
So if we had extra money and wanted to start funding and looking at funding, and
one of your plans,
we would,
yes,
want to go with
probably
that one.
Probably. Your other ones are funded at 98-96%,
right.
So they're pretty good, definitely. Yes.
Your perspective, or from I guess the those that rich ratings and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Having that more fully funded, does that help our overall financial?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that, I mean, it really does, because, you know, when you have other counties that are planning for, you know, you have an $8 million pension liability right now that, well, it's, they're not handing you a bill for $8 million. That's your currently actuarially determined pension obligation. There's other municipalities and counties that maybe are at $15 million and their payroll's half of yours, or another county that may be at $50 million. So I feel like you guys are definitely in a good spot with your pensions, you know, comparative. Okay. All right.
Honey, can I ask one more question about that?
Yeah.
So if we took out of the IMRF fund balance, could we do that at some point and put into SLEP?
To lower that IMRF fund balance?
Yeah.
You could, but like I said, that IMRF fund is one that you want to make sure you've at least got that 6, 7, 8 months operating, because you have to go from November 30th until your property taxes start coming in May or June.
So we could do it after May if we wanted to move some money?
You could, but that...
Catch up to the following,
right, it would catch up the following year, and you'd be short on cash.
Okay.
Like was discussed.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something where you say, okay, we're going to do it, you know, $100,000 a year for the next 10 years to try to,
yeah,
make up $1 million. You know, you can put a plan in place, definitely. But yes.
Okay.
There was a time, Jill would recall this. Jill, when the market really dove in late 2000 aughts,
We know you've blocked most of this, but try to recall some of it.
Well, no, and it really dove. And we were well-funded at one time, over 100%, I've said that repeatedly, and it dropped down. It was in the 70s. The IMRF, I shouldn't say the state, the IMRF came back with a kind of a payback plan to get it hired. Do you remember that? And we had an option of paying it over the course of 5 years or 1 year, and I think we did somewhere in between.
Yeah, there were a couple of options.
Yeah, but we got to the point where they said, you need to bring that number back up. And so we were in a position where we could, but there's no saying that won't happen again.
Right.
Long after I might be gone. Mm-hmm. I know. Everyone's
hoping. All right. The next 100 or so pages are your non-major governmental funds. So I'm not going to go through those all in detail.
Aww.
I mean, unless you really want me to.
No.
I was joking.
Please, no. She's like, there's no way. No.
But I'll hit on page 89 is the total. Page 89 is the total balance sheet for those funds. So you can see total cash at $15.6 million, receivables of $757,000, notes receivable of $213,000, and then other receivables of $90,000 for a total assets here of $16.6 million, total liabilities of $653,000 for a net fund balance here of $16,008,000. Yeah.
Is there anything else that came before that has an amorphous other line in it that I would be interested
no.
to know?
No. Okay. No. Then if you jump about 10 more pages, jump to page 99. And I'm just going to give you, this is all those other non-major funds, the detail for the year. So total revenues in of just under $12.6 million, expenditures of $13.3 million, transfers in and out, for a net change in fund balance, a decrease of $1,023,000, bringing that fund balance for all of these funds down to $16.8 million.
All the other funds.
All the other funds. So, like I you can see them all listed here on the next 10 pages, your animal control, county bridge, highway, motor fuel. You keep going. You got your liability insurance funds.
Public safety.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, well, public safety was one of your major funds.
So the highway is not considered major fund?
Highway is not considered major. And the way we determine that is you have to look at a percentage of the revenues and a percentage of the fund assets.
Of the whole budget or each one individually?
Of the whole. You have to look at each one individually as a combination of the county as a whole. So if they don't meet those classifications, they're not.
What is that term they use? They have a term you all use.
Material.
Thank you.
Yes.
Material.
It's non-material to the.
Yeah, it's only a few million dollars. So it's not.
Well, and that it's non-material for determining if it's a major fund or not. So, yes. But yeah, highway coming in with revenues of 1.7. Their ending fund balance, though, is only 282,000. When you consider some of your other funds that we talked about earlier, those major funds, they have $3 million
balances.
That's
the highway levy, not the transportation sales tax, because that's a major.
Your transportation sales tax was a major fund, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's clear.
Yes. All right. I'm going to jump back quite a bit now here. Sorry, I should have flagged these.
That's okay.
All right. So if we jump back to, here we go. Pages 188. So we're jumping pretty far back. This just shows the forest preserve, the breakout of the forest preserve that then comes to those front statements, and I won't go through that. You've already looked at that in your forest preserve audits. But this just shows the breakout that then comes up to that forest preserve numbers in the audit. Page 191 is your agency funds. So that earlier in the night when we talked about that $15.7 million that was held within the county but on behalf of someone else, that's all these funds. So you can see, and it continues for a few pages. But the totals here are $15.7 million for all these funds that are listed on this E1 schedule. KenCom and 911 board, all of those are included in this because they are maintained by the county, but they're not county funds. All right, I'm going to jump back next to page 197. And this shows the tax rates, assessed valuations, extensions, and collections for the past 5 years. You can see in 2013-14, assessed valuation was still pretty flat, started growing in 15, has jumped up in 16, and then jumped again in 17. So you can see, correspondingly, as that tax assessed valuation is increasing, your tax rate that's being charged is decreasing. So that tax rate back in 2013 was 80 cents per $100 of assessed valuation, has now dropped down to 0.7088, so 70 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. So bringing in total tax dollars this year of $21.4 million.
It was once quite a bit lower, though.
What's that?
The tax rate was once quite a bit lower.
It was...
The rate, not the levy, the rate was.
The rate was significantly lower when your assessed valuation was so much higher back. I would say probably 2006 was probably when that probably peaked. And your rate would have been significantly lower
then.
When
property values dropped, we can
to be able to levy the same dollar amount, the rate increased.
And that's
so,
fried people a lot.
Right.
Frosted them.
Yeah. And that's, well, and the thing is, when you look at it, if you have a home and it's valued at $300,000, I'm going to use for round numbers, and your assessed valuation then is one-third of that, $100,000. If that drops down to 80 and the tax rate increases, you're still generally paying the same amount of tax, but because your assessed valuation dropped, your rate's going up to cover that same dollar amount. So I know that...
And again, I'm not arguing, but the common concern we always heard was, my property value lost 20%, yet my taxes still went up. Right. I know you don't control that, but that was
Yeah.
What's it
because
back?
My tax
So, anyway.
Okay. All right. Going to jump back now to the other reporting. On page 198 is the gas reporting, which is the 198. The reporting in accordance with the government auditing standards. So this does state we did have two comments on the audit, and I will go through those here in just another minute. On page 200 starts our single audit section. Which anytime you expend more than $750,000 in federal awards, you do are required to have what they call a single audit or a separate audit on your single federal awards. So that starts on page 200, and then those expenditures are listed on pages 202 through 204. The notes to that single audit is on pages 205 and 206. The summary of results is on page 207, and then on page 208, we do have the first financial statement finding that we had, which was on financial statement preparation. And this was a repeat finding. I'm not too worried about this finding, only because what this finding, in a sense, is saying is you as a county don't actually prepare this document. We prepare it and put it together for you. So we have to notify you as a board that there's a risk associated with us preparing it, you not preparing it, and us auditing it. There's none of the counties that prepare it for us. Will County, I think, is the only county in this area that prepares their own, and they have a CPA on staff that does that. So again, not too concerned with that one. The next one is expenditures in excess of appropriations. Again, this is a repeat one from last year. Just making sure if your expenditures are going up, if something comes in that's unexpected, the budgets be amended.
Yeah, with the budget being amended, I would love to see that what we've been told in the past by, I think, people from our state associations that we're not allowed to amend our budget once we pass it.
No, that's not true.
Okay.
You can, and generally what the reasoning is, they want a board, if you set a budget, they want you to adhere to it. Now, when you're doing your budget, we'll just talk about this year. You're doing the budget for fiscal year 19. You start it in maybe May, June, July of 17. I mean, you're starting it a year and a half before you're really working on it, or I'm sorry, 18, to then have it passed before your fiscal year starts December 1. there's a lot that could happen in those 18 months. So basically what the state statute states is that if anticipated revenues are different, you can change your budget. We always tell people if things come up, the biggest thing is you want your department heads and elected officials coming to you as a finance committee and saying, hey, look, this is what I thought it was going to be when we did this last summer, but now that we're getting into it, this is where it's looking like it's at, and you as a finance committee should then be able to amend that budget if necessary to account for all of that. Okay? So that is the next one. Okay, this is the summary of prior year findings. So last year, actually the last 2 years, you did have the financial statement preparation finding. Again, that is repeated for this year. Last year, you had a cash reconciliation finding within the circuit clerk office. That finding has been removed. That has been fixed. And then your compliance findings, expenditures and excess of appropriations was continued again this year. Circuit clerk fees, this finding was removed as our testing determined no instances of improperly charging those fees. And then last year you did have a federal award finding on your LIHEAP program, which in our testing this year we found no compliance issues there as well. So that finding was removed as well. Then in your separate document there, separate document. You have, these are not significant deficiencies, but other comments basically that we want to bring to your attention. The first one is the cash to accrual conversion and significant audit adjustments that are required as the audit. So you always have your books on a cash basis. What is technically required is that you do, as a county, post those accrual journal entries. So post the receivables, payables, and payroll accruals if necessary. Right now, the auditor is still doing that. Basically, you've got a management response here as well. And we provided all these ahead of time so the county had time to respond. And the treasurer's office is going to develop a process that will identify transactions for revenues and expenditures and prepare that list so those can be included to remove this finding in future years. Oops. The next one is the, yep, go ahead.
Looking ahead, the new accounting software, this is still Jill talking, right?
Correct. Okay. Yes. So, yeah, any management response would have either came from Jill or Scott. Those were provided by them.
Which Scott?
Couple. Yes. Okay. All right. The next one is the grant tracking and reporting. The county does not have a centralized process in place for identifying, tracking, and monitoring grants. This is another one. With the new GATA requirements, they are in the process of providing this. So right now, really, the county should be preparing their own schedule of federal awards. The health department is doing that for their grants, but really nowhere else is it centralized. So we want to just make sure that that happens as well. The next one is the subrecipient monitoring. The county outsources its transit program, and in doing so, they have not developed and implemented processes for monitoring and oversight of that. It looks like in late 2018, the board has named a new PCOM to monitor the transit grant programs. So they will be reviewing that. The next one is the controls over purchasing. So general lack of internal controls related to the county purchases. We do recommend that there be, in our recommendation, the county was in the process of approving a formal credit card policy. We recommend that the county enforce and adhere to the new policies consistently across all departments. And then you can see management responses included there as well. The next one is control over compensated absences. This one, there's not a standardized process in place. So while each department does track their own compensated absences, sick time, vacation time, and report it to the treasurer, it's not consistent across the departments and offices. So we recommend that that be a countywide process and make sure that that is consistent. I'm understanding with the new accounting software, that will all be tracked internally within that system. So that should eliminate that as well.
I mean, can we require the sheriff to use that software? I mean, we can ask the sheriff to.
Do they want to get paid?
What's that? further time off.
Do they want to get paid?
Further time off. So if the sheriff doesn't use that time off software, they're not going to get paid?
It's all within the system. Everything will be tracked within the system. I mean, because it'll be that, you know, their paychecks will show how much vacation time they have, how much they've used.
So let me ask this. If the sheriff decides that Commander or whoever did a just tremendous job helping out on this, and he says, you go take a day off and we're going to pay you for it, our software is going to tell the sheriff he can or cannot do that?
I mean, they obviously have to put the information in.
Okay.
The software is only going to be as good as the input.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I can't.
Okay.
That's a recurring
finding. But it's
finding.
Going to be, I guess if they are not being honest and entering their stuff, and we get, you know, I mean.
You're just the messenger.
Yeah, I mean, but it will at least, everyone will be in on the same system.
Okay.
All right, and then the last one. This relates to, is not necessarily a finding for this year, but just, we want to make sure that the board is aware of this. The new data reporting is going to be quite extensive for the county. And I don't know how much as a board you're aware of the new Illinois Grant Accountability and Transparency Act. Health Department is pretty much up and running with it right now, or they would not be getting their grants any longer. But the other departments need to all come on board. Highway is really going to have, I anticipate, a difficult time with this. Basically, they went back to, IDOT went back to GATA asking, and originally it was included motor fuel tax. They went back and asked, can we exclude this? This isn't a grant. GATA said, absolutely not. It's state dollars. You need to report it. So Highway is going to have to report all motor fuel tax dollars, not just the county dollars, but the township dollars they manage as well. It's really going to be a lot of work. And it's going to need to be done at the Highway Department quarterly, as well as then an annual report submitted to IDOT. In addition, you're going to need a centralized location here at the county. So when the Health Department does all of their stuff and uploads it, and the Highway does their stuff, and you know, you have transit getting their grants, and you have all these different places getting their grants, someone needs to be able to account for all of that at a county level and do the county reporting as a whole as well. So it's really going to be a lot of work. And then, go ahead, do you have a question?
Yeah. So Lori was here at our Forest Preserve Finance.
Yes.
And we talked about this because before she came in and talked about it with Forest Preserve, we actually had back here at our finance meeting talking about, you know, the woes of GATA.
Oh, yeah.
They had not been paid and, you know, were in dire straits. So what is your, I mean, I just find this just mind-boggling. So what is your recommendation as far as what you're seeing with other counties?
Well,
who's doing it? Is it Jill's office that's coordinating?
Well,
that?
We're seeing different things in different counties. At Grundy, they're looking at hiring a new finance person to basically, and I mean, they're going
to
have other roles,
just to,
but this person is going to be probably the person that handles this. Livingston County has a, I don't really know what her title is, but she's kind of their financial oversight, okay. And she's handling this.
Are there other states that are doing this program?
No, this is Illinois. Illinois, and here's the best part. Did Illinois Robert is the test for this program.
Joy.
Yeah.
They know about our
We're
governor,
the
right?
Pig.
What's that?
They know about our governor.
Right. Right. So, I mean, this is going to be...
Nice try, Amy. Look at the date.
The point is, what's with all of the oversight? Where did that begin and why?
And here's the thing. This isn't within the comptroller's office. It's not with the, in the revenue department. I mean, this is not in the state at one of those levels. They have created a whole new department for GATA. This is a whole new department at the state that is just monitoring grants. But again, not just grants. Apparently motor fuel is included too. So, I mean, it's going to be a lot. And in addition to that, everything that we're seeing that's coming out is stating you have to report this on your basis of accounting, meaning you can't just report cash in, cash out because you're a modified accrual statements. So you have to report this as receivables and payables as well, which is going to be a lot. I mean, if you're just reporting, here's the grant money we got in, here's the grant money we spent, much easier than reporting, we have these receivables out there, we have payables out there. I mean, there's a lot that's really going to go into this.
Do you have a line item payable, like, down to an invoice level?
Within each department, yes. At the county as a whole,
no.
They'll be pulling in from all the other places.
Drill down from within there.
No, it should be all those at an individual level. Health department will be line by line detail. Highway will be line by line, but
right,
here
so they're going to want to be able to drill down from mm-hmm. the county's top down. They want right. to drill down to
right.
detail from
right.
there.
Right. Okay.
I was going to ask, didn't we just hire a compliance person? Could we maybe shift some of these?
That's not part of the job description. It wasn't part of the original job at all. But we
let them discuss it.
We have already done part of it in our office.
Right. And we're doing the GATA portion for the transit stuff. So.
Okay. And then when the initial paperwork all came out, they basically said the auditors need to issue an in relation to opinion on the GATA reporting, which just basically means it's accurate in relation to the financial statements. And they wanted that with the audit report. The CPA Society went back and said, how can we issue an in relation to opinion on the GATA reporting that they can't do until our audit is done because they need those numbers to do it? I mean, it's a circle. So then they came and basically said, okay, it doesn't have to happen for this year, but you're going to have to do it for next year. So honestly, we still don't know what our role as auditors are because they haven't spelled it out well enough. But we do know we can't help you with any of it, because if we helped with any of it, it would be deemed as management responsibility, and we can't provide any management-related responsibilities.
We have to forfeit it if we just don't do it.
All your state money. Yeah. State and federal wow. grant, all your state and federal money would be gone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
you
can be
those your six-month fund balance.
Oh my God! I'm just putting this out there. Is it possible we need to do an ad hoc to stay on top of this? This seems pretty.
It's scary.
Yeah, I think we need some oversight.
Someone suggested on this side of the room that we consider our legal options as well.
Well, we have a management response in here. Sounds like we're going to get the resolve.
I guess for my understanding, I'm trying to wrap my brain around this because it's when they came in from back, it was scary. Did they say why they were implementing GATA as far as, was there some issues?
They want more transparency in the state, in the grant process.
Because they were seeing issues?
It's, like I said, it's at a state level. I mean, really, it came down, at a state level, and it's...
I'm trying to
figure out where graft and corruption is. That what you're asking? Is this in response to graft and corruption?
Well, because you see with grants, I mean, you either have the money or you don't. It gets paid
right.
out or it doesn't.
And it's just very difficult because they're wanting you to use the numbers which are in your schedule of federal awards.
Sure.
But it's not just federal dollars. It's state and federal dollars that they're wanting you to report.
And the transportation.
That doesn't make sense.
Motor fuel. Which, again... Yeah. To me, blows my mind because that is not a grant; that's a tax. So, what are they going to say? Income tax and sales tax, and
it doesn't. Like they can't.
Transportation. I mean, are all those going to be included?
How long for LGDF is something we have to include too?
Let's just throw it all in now, just to be safe.
God, that's so bizarre to me.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know. Once you upload everything, I don't know what they're even doing to check it. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know how their checks and balances are working on their end.
When Lori was here, she said you guys haven't even gone into that portal as a third entity. You can't even.
We can't even get into it. No.
So
we can't
even train or show people how
it's done. Nothing at all. They will.
That was
right. They're very clear on. And the world of auditing has changed so much in the last 10 years because of. Obviously the issues that are arising and, different things with municipalities, but the independence line that they have drawn now for auditors is, it's a very dark line. Where before, you know, if you had questions, you could call us. We could kind of help you through making sure you're doing things right. I mean, they really want us to have no role in management whatsoever. We can't make, which makes sense. We should not make any decisions at all. But we can offer no guidance. So our best guidance is making you aware, so you know you need to
so
look into it.
Figure out how to audit that later.
Yeah, when they tell us what we need to do, yes.
Because it seems odd that you can't even get into the portal. You don't even know how it's entered.
We can't.
How
no. And like I said, what I'm assuming is there'll be reports that are able to be printed out and provided to us.
Right.
And then we'll have to issue it in relation to opinion at some date, probably within, you know, 6 months after the audit report. We'll have to issue that in relation to opinion as part of it. But I mean, they can't, I don't know how they could possibly say it's got to be part of the audit when you can't do it until we're finished with the audit.
Right.
Yeah.
Can okay. we estimate and put in other lines?
She's stuck on the other.
Yeah.
I don't like a $1 million
no.
other line.
I know.
I don't like
I know.
That at all.
Right. Like I said, I mean, those
come. Nowhere else in accounting are you allowed to do that.
No, no, but in actuarials, it happens all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I'm not an actuary.
Sorry.
No, any other questions for me?
Running right along.
Well, thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Right.
I'll look at yeah. it. Right. Moving along. Sketch. Holy cow. The rest
of this should go pretty well.
Is this okay?
Class action.
I don't know.
It's dumb. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Them.
All right. Standing committee reports, planning, building, and zoning, Mr. Prochaska.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion for the approval of the annual McNoxious Weed Notice.
Ah, come on.
Second.
Obnoxious.
It is the Kendall County record at a cost not to exceed $110. Related invoices to be paid from the PBZ legal publications line item 010-2-002-6209.
Second.
Motion by Prochaska, seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion?
Has anything changed on this?
Nothing's changed. It's the same action.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Hi.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Hi.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. Finance Committee, Ms. Sussage.
Oh, my goodness.
Mr. Kellogg's not here.
That was the only one that was there?
It's happening.
You're my peripheral. Approved claims in the amount not to exceed $849,345.29.
Second.
Motion by Sussage, seconded by Flowers. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Ms. Flowers?
Hi.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
All eyes, thank you. For this next item, Member Purcell has indicated that he will abstain from this discussion and under our board rules of order shall be treated as though he is not present.
I will make a motion to approve coroner claims in an amount not to exceed $1,283.10.
Motion by Sussage, seconded by Hendricks. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sussage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Hi.
All eyes.
All right, now the Discoverable Area Transit Advance Funds Request. I think Purcell can talk about this, but this is kind of what I was talking about with the VAT coming in for our finance meeting.
Purcell would be glad to talk about this.
Mr. Purcell.
I was just kind of explaining what it was.
or Purcell, I mean.
That's right.
Not Purcell. Mr. Purcell.
Thanks, Sussage.
But I was just saying, that's why I was saying the back. You know?
No, I get it. Grinder, may I speak now?
You may speak, Purcell.
Oh, my God.
So... The CAT folks are waiting on some funding from the state.
The CAT folk? Oh, okay.
Yeah, the CAT.
Does this have anything to do with their data?
I don't know. I really don't.
Just checking.
Hendricks, Purcell.
That's right. Nonetheless, they're really struggling while they're waiting for this money. And they asked if we could advance some money. It's money that's in the budget. It's money that we have on hand. So we're not taking money from another fund. It's money that's there. There was a $25,000 transfer from the general fund that I asked Joel to go ahead and make now versus later in the year. That was already budgeted. So we agreed at the finance committee, and Joel's already cut a check to them for $170,000 because they expect DeKalb, the Save DeKalb, to help fund some money early. With our help, DeKalb's help, they're hopeful that they can make things work until they get all the money from the state. They expect to have in about, I think, 45 days, what they said. Is that, anyone remembers? Was it about 45 days? So
30 to 45 days.
30 to 45 days. So what this is really more than anything, it's just a heads up. We want to make everyone aware of what's going
Don't
on.
Don't we have to authorize this as a board?
It's already been budgeted, and it's not exceeding
for a cap payment?
What's that?
For a cap payment?
Right. Absolutely, yeah. Oh. Yeah, we budget money for CAT. We had money in the fund balance of $143,000 or $148,000. We had another $25,500 that's budgeted to be transferred from the general fund. So those items were already available.
Do we do this every year?
No.
What's
well, we do CAT money every year, absolutely, yeah.
No, but the advance?
No, this is the first time we've done it.
Why are we doing it?
Because they need the money desperately.
We won't be able to make payroll.
Why is that though?
The state of Illinois.
Haven't got the payment from the state.
What is different now than years past? Is the state just put a freeze on this or what?
How it was explained to us is that the money is that typically in the past, whatever they've been doing since 2010, I think they said, those monies have never been this slow in coming forth.
So the state's gotten even worse in paying out?
That's what was explained to us.
Okay. This.
I can tell you what. We're told. I don't.
Sorry, Vickers.
The federal government shutdown stopped some money, I believe, going to the state for them to cap too. I read that somewhere. I don't know where.
It was part of it.
That was part of it.
But GATA also is part of it.
Or I'm just making it up.
It sounds plausible.
I did read that somewhere.
Prochaska.
Didn't they also say that they're about 9 months behind on getting some money from the state of Illinois?
Yes. What they explained to us is they've never seen it this bad with the state. Now, there were some questions, to be fair. There were some questions on, you know, they have what we feel might be considered a structural deficit. And they realized they've got a new finance person, actually, that he's worked there since last October. And he's actually has some banking experience. And that's something they're going to address. But this is a little more specific to the funding not coming forward. Your question is a great question.
Idea on when that might happen, or we not?
When what might happen?
The funding.
They thought 45 days is what they're saying.
Okay.
So the hope is between the monies we're able to, I call it advance, but really it's money that's been budgeted. We just, in the past.
We're just paying it early?
We're paying it earlier, okay. Correct. If the state quits paying everyone, then I guess we'll be out that money, and the CAP program will have to shut down, but it's just a matter of the timing. And they've extended their line of credits. I mean, they're in a real pickle here, and we're just trying to help them out with, after we looked at it, this is money that's already been approved in the budget and money that was available.
And their payroll was $170,000, so this actually got them to 2 weeks.
Mr. Kemple.
My comment was just going to be the way that CAT money works is we're a pass-through for them, so the federal money comes to us, and then we have in budget to pay CAT. And that's why it's not here yet, so we can't pay them yet. So when we pay them during the year is dependent on when we get the money from the state.
Okay.
So there's no specific
money in that fund.
Yep.
Ms. Hendricks?
Sorry, Hendricks.
And what is
Jimmy?
What's their plan B? I mean, what if
they shut
it
down?
Takes 60 days? Yeah, it's going to be to shut
it's
down.
It's
a fair question, and we did ask that, and they're I don't want to be in their position, I'll be honest. But the money we have on hand is money that is left over from just rollover of different funds from this program. So this is not money that is being taken out of any other fund. The $25,000 that was transferred from the general fund was budgeted to be transferred from the general fund. So to be clear, this is not money that we're pulling from other funds. This is money that was budgeted that is available in this fund. So I understand the questions, and I'm not saying they're wrong. But we had some real concerns, but when we looked at it, there's money in that fund right now. So it's not money that we're taking from wherever, general fund, whatever, transportation.
We're not robbing Peter to pay.
No, we're not. We're just, we're paying it earlier than we normally would have because they're in a desperate place, and we're trying to be good neighbors, you know.
Thank you for the update. Animal control, Ms. Sessage?
Okay, I will make a motion for approval of the purchase of the Chameleon software for the animal control facility in an amount not to exceed $21,000.
Second.
Motion by Sessage, seconded by Hendricks. Scott?
This is new software that will run the entire animal control facility from bookkeeping to tracking rabies tags to putting in information about adoptable animals. It is designed to run an animal control facility. It is used at most of the counties from the research that technology and animal control did, and it will allow us to group everything into one system. Right now we use multiple systems, including QuickBooks, and this will bring everything under one roof. Also, investigations are part of it, so we can take a laptop out in the field and track information and bring it back, and then hopefully improve our reporting to the state's attorney's office for that as well.
Roll call.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Greiner?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. Law and Justice Legislation, Giles.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Giles. We have a motion to approve the agreement with Gateway Foundation, Inc. and the Kendall County Drug Court.
Second.
Motion by Giles, seconded by Gilmore. Any discussion on this, Scott?
This is an agreement they have to provide a service for outpatient or inpatient services for part of the drug court. This will be coming back shortly because they have to apparently get it approved every year when the state does their budget, because this is paid for primarily with state grant funds. They're very happy with the service they're receiving.
Thank you. Okay. We don't have to have a number on it. Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Greiner?
Yes.
Ms. Hendricks?
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessage?
Yes.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Mr. Giles?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
All ayes. Thank you. H&E, Ms. Gilmore.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the resolution reducing behavioral health conditions in jails.
Second. Motion by Gilmore, seconded by Purcell. Scott?
Aye.
I believe this was brought back from NACO by Matthew Prochaska originally. It's an effort to from the H&E committee to work with the health department, with the jail. Maybe the sheriff can talk on it a little bit as well, but to get improve upon intake and the procedures and protocols, and it's kind of it's not committing any funds necessarily to it, but it's to, you know, to do better in the jail with that.
I'm wondering, can you guys just give us a rundown of what's driving this? Like what drives this and what's its aim?
Prochaska, did you want to address it?
Do you want me to say something first?
Okay. Are you your question about what's driving it from NACO? Is this where the resolution where it comes from, or locally?
Locally.
All right. Okay. Doctor and sheriff.
Sure. Do you want to say something first, Matthew?
Only that this was an initiative that NACO has been putting forward the past couple of years. Given the fact that NACO, in conjunction with the National Association of County Behavioral Health and Development Disability Directors, are very much concerned, given the fact that in jails across the United States, that is becoming a becoming more and more the largest mental health providers. Yeah. And that is something that the counties are very much concerned about, considering, according to NACO, that 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. experience some form of mental illness. 1 in 25 adults in the U.S. have a serious mental illness, and 1 in 10 of the adults in the U.S. have experienced a substance use disorder. And more, they're finding a correlation between mental health and substance abuse. So it's something, if we can try to figure out how to lower the cost.
And so what is the...
get more people.
Right now, this is bringing awareness to the issue? Is that about it?
Well, and a little bit more. So we custom wrote this actually to reflect. It's even, I think, a little bit of a
It was Matthew brought this idea back from NACO, and then we custom wrote it to really reflect some of the rigors that we want to see in place. And we are talking about the struggle with addiction and mental health issues that we know are present in persons that are incarcerated, and things that we would like to do to support that. What do you want to say, Dwight?
Can I just interrupt?
Yes.
Hendricks.
Is there, I know I'm jumping the gun.
Sure.
But I want to keep everybody, all of this stuff is connected, right? Is this the additional cost of providing this kind of service that's involved in this resolution, is that going to be something that's tracked for our lawsuits that goes towards the opioid crisis as well?
It's not something that we were necessarily thinking about. What we're doing is, so the health department provides services and the sheriff's office provides services in the jail, and what we're, the impetus for this is looking at, is there screening that connects people to a need, and does that need connect them to a service if they want the service? That's really what we're looking at. Is there screening that connects them to a need, and then does that need get them connected to a service if they need that service?
Can you just keep that as a note to solve?
Sure.
Or that is exactly,
sure,
the kind of thing.
Well,
we
probably Leslie's going to keep it as a note to self.
You for time.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. No. The sheriff is standing here in his great suit. What do you want to say?
It is a great suit.
Thank you.
It costs more on my clothes put together. I'm telling you that.
You're probably right.
There's no doubt in my mind.
This resolution, when Member Prochaska had brought it forward, and Dr. Tokars and my staff had yes.
Oh, I was just going to ask him if there was
flowers
would have any impact on rate of recidivism as well.
We hope that it does. We're also looking at other programs within the sheriff's office that are kind of more objectives to help reach what's in this resolution. And we're in the planning stages of that now, in case there is a financial obligation that may be later down the road. But anything that we can do to reduce recidivism is definitely a plus for us. It's a plus for the state's attorney's office. You think I can read that? Yeah. it does. In one of the whereases, it does talk about recidivism.
Where are your binoculars?
They're right here.
Your binoculars.
So while you're
while you're putting those on, there are a number of items on here.
These together.
Are they? Are you taking specific actions then between the sheriff and the health department to interview, or how are you?
So the sheriff's office already screens people when they're booked, and so what we're doing now is we've had a couple of meetings, and we have another one coming up about that screening process and how it appropriately identifies a need, and that's what we're working on now, and then we're going to be working on how to get people, if they'd like to be best connected to that need. And it's not that these things haven't been happening, but we just want to make that more rigorous.
Our resolution says to transmit copies of this back to both of you and to NACO and our county administrator. Are there people that are better suited to read this that it would help for us to send it to, like in the state or the Department of Health or something? In your estimation?
In my opinion, I think your stakeholders are right here. Obviously with Scott, and then with the health department and the sheriff's office and the county board. I mean, those are the primary stakeholders. So I would think that we're hitting those. Obviously, as we've looked into training with our training officer on other trainings that we can do, we're working with our insurance company to provide some training options there. We've also looked at obviously the tablets. We feel that there's something there that can help reduce recidivism. So we've kind of working on all these objectives. This kind of codifies them into goals in our partnerships and what we've done. And if I'm misspeaking anything, I've been in most of the meetings, or some of the meetings, not all of them. So I think our stakeholders are here. So, but we will share this as we feel necessary.
Mr. Prochaska, then Mrs. Gilmore.
I was going to say, if we wanted to extend it, I would maybe just say we send a copy to our state associations as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ms. Gilmore?
And Sheriff, isn't it true also that you helped the inmates after they're released, also with support with whatever their issue is as part of this?
Well, we specifically don't. Dr. Amal, if you'd like to talk about that.
Yeah. So the, there are many persons who, after they're released, come to us and continue work with us, if, whether it's from the drug court or they're coming over from incarceration. We're very happy to do that. I also want to say that this was crafted in a way so that the sheriff's office staff are not in a corner doing something that wouldn't make sense 5 years from now. In other words, it's crafted in a way so that they can work within best practice and continue to evolve in that. So it's not so microscopic that they can't continue to develop in that way.
That's great. Thanks, everybody, for your hard work on this.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Member Prochaska, for the nice idea.
Thank you. Welcome.
Ms. Hendricks?
Yes.
Mr. Prochaska?
Yes.
Mr. Purcell?
Aye.
Ms. Vickers?
Yes.
Ms. Sessing?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Ms. Flowers?
Aye.
Ms. Gilmore?
Yes.
Mr. Grader?
Yes.
Ms. Gilmore, Mr. Grayer.
Yes.
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 I think I said it.
Yes.
Yes.
It was Amy's fault.
Yeah, Amy.
I apologize.
Pay attention. May I have a motion to approve the standing committee minutes?
So,
motion by Flowers, seconded by Gilmore. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Special committee reports. KenCom Executive Board.
Mr. Chairman, the KenCom Executive Board has yet to meet since I've been appointed to it. So hopefully one of those meetings will be forthcoming as soon as the insurance, not the insurance, the labor negotiations are complete.
Housing Authority.
Mr. Chairman, the Kendall County Housing Authority met in February. We did pass our CMAP resolution to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. With a max score of 135, we received 130. The one indicator we were off, last year we had hit the indicator with 94% and we needed 98% to receive credit. This year our percentage was 97.
Okay. Let's hope we can get better next year. Better luck next year. Good job. That's good. That is an area that has come a long way since we've all kind of been involved too. Board of Health, Mr. Giles.
We met in addition to our general items, a key item was the finding that long-term resolution to the budgetary issue of contribution from the health department. And so members of the board are excited to see that plan is coming forward and that is being discussed early in the year and are excited about working on that together with the county board. So looking forward to getting that done prior to budget.
Awesome. Mr. Purcell.
To that end, Sessage and myself are going to the Board of Health Finance meeting tomorrow morning.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
And we'll be there about 8:30 after the kids get on the bus.
Wonderful.
Not ours, but yours.
That's a good point. That's a real good point. No scandal here.
She jokes. I just wanted to let you know that I was asked to represent the Kendall County at the Joint Executive Committee for nominations for the Fox Valley Workforce Board, as well as its one-stop oversight. And I brought up a couple of issues there that are pertinent to the Public Health Department and probably the sheriff too, in a roundabout kind of way. And that was the need for us to track more accurately the long-term effects of all of our workforce net programs, which is a bit difficult to track, but there's no effort being made other than to track young people as they move through schools and we tell them they should study something in college that interests them. I find that wholly inadequate. But more importantly, the gentleman who heads the one-stop centers for the northern portion of Illinois, whose name I forget right now, shame on me, I was specifically mentioning taking people out of drug court programs into the one-stop network to give them job training, education, interviewing skills, professional skills to get into the workforce to bring down the recidivism rate.
and to improve rehabilitation scores and just those people's lives. I was pleased that he reported very positively about working with the Kendall County Public Health Department in that regard, and I followed up with them about whether or not they were taking drug court graduates into that program, and was also very pleased to find out that they are doing so. But I can't stress enough how impressed he was with the participation of our public health department. So once again, public health department. Okay.
Thank you. Chairman's report. I will also mention that we had our first solid waste committee meeting last week. I've already forgotten. Todd's on the committee as well, and Judy led the committee. And I thought we had a very good discussion. The next meeting is in end of May, but it was good for us to get off the bat. 28th.
28th is what I remember.
Do you want to add anything on it, or? Or Judy, anything else on that one?
Well, we have four meetings in total compared to last 5 years ago when we had eight meetings. So we're basically just reviewing and adding to, or just, you know, whatever changes we the committee thinks to the current plan.
Yeah.
You know, we're expecting it to go fairly well because we already have a good plan. So.
But Amal wants us to make sure we come up with some goals so that people have something to work for, though, right?
We got great notes from the last
meeting,
and we're going to be crafting those into things for everybody to take a look at next time.
Yeah. And thanks for coming, Mr. Chairman. Appreciate it.
That's good. Thank you. I want to mention the, and maybe Judy, you want to mention this now too, I guess. Well, let me wait, and we can do it under other business.
Okay.
The Export Pitch, Chicago Regional Growth Corporation and UPS are pleased to announce the 2019 Export Pitch. Scott, do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, it's one of the groups that we're part of. The CRGC is they do this they've done it a couple times in the past, and we've actually had a winner, a place from Oswego. It's one of those groups that we're in, and you find out, is money coming back to Kendall County? Why are we in this group? This is an opportunity for businesses to get money. First prize is $5,000 from the Regional Growth Corporation. It is money from Chase, so it's not like part of our contribution. And you also get $5,000 in UPS shipping credits. It's you come in front of a group of professionals, you do a pitch about your business. They're going to take up to 10 businesses to do this, and then they'll place the top three, and they'll all get prizes from that. And it's also an opportunity to kind of talk about your business. If you need to be a small business, so under 500 employees, and have been around for at least a year, and in one of the collars, Cook and the Collar counties, including Kendall. So if you know of any businesses, please send them my way. We're trying to get some more, and I would prefer to see all three prizes come back to Kendall County, so we'll do our best to get those.
Do you know who won
it
last time?
I don't know, but there are videos on CRGC's website that shows some of the pitches and examples of what happened. So.
And the specific eligibility requirements are that you have to be registered to do business in Kendall County, or, you know, one of the collars, with a valid W-9 form listing the company address, meet the Small Business Administration's definition of a small business, and been in business for at least 1 year from the date the application is submitted. So it seems like it's a pretty wide net that it casts. And then, as you said, there's $5,000 cash, $2,500 cash, and, it's an UPS International Export Shipping Credits.
And cash.
That's interesting. Oh, yeah. $5,000 cash and $5,000 in UPS International Export Shipping Credits. So that's kind of interesting. And then that event is on April 25th, where they will do finalist display tables, pitch competition, reception following that, and then the judge's decision is that same day as well. So it's all in afternoon, and it's in Warrenville at the IBEW Local 701 building.
Cool.
So that should be interesting. All right, other business. Judy.
Yes.
Sky.
So I gave everybody the sponsorship brochure just to let you know that there's different levels of sponsorship that the Juvenile Justice Council has set up for the Sky Race. And also to remind you that I'm collecting $20 from all the board members so that we can be a rainwater sponsor.
She's gotten really good
at the lowest level, so I wish it was more. But just remind you, this is our one and only fundraiser for Juvenile Justice Council. There's no tax dollars involved in this, and the money goes to a very good cause because it's all used to basically to help high school kids and junior high school kids stay away from drugs and alcohol and keep them on the straight and narrow. So it's a good cause, and it's also, the race is a lot of fun for those of you that have never been there. So, and thank you for those of you that have already paid. Appreciate it.
Judy, can I bring my dog on the run?
Yes. Some of us. It's pet friendly, it's stroller friendly, family friendly. So it's a lot of fun.
Are there going to be two courses, though?
Yeah, we're going to have a modified course that doesn't involve the hill and gravel.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to
stroll. Yeah, it is. Great. Mr. Prochaska, you want to talk about your trip to the NACO meeting last weekend?
Since Friday, I went to the National Association of Counties Legislative Conference in D.C. At that conference, we heard from various speakers, including Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson, Secretary of Labor Elaine Chao, Senator Rubio, Kellyanne Conway, and Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota. We discussed different topics, including the fallout from the Wayfair decision and some suggestions for local counties and what you can do and what you can do currently, and some suggestions to take back to the General Assemblies. We talked about some upcoming Supreme Court cases that might have an impact on counties, and as well as some federal legislative priorities of NACO and setting those priorities for the next year.
Thank you. Any other business? Citizens to be heard? Say your name, you have 5 minutes.
Todd Millen, Yorkville. Jill, give me a copy of the management letter. As you all know, I've been a purveyor of credit card expenses with this county for quite some time. We've made a lot of progress in that area. It was wanton was the term I would use in the past, and it's gotten a lot better, but we still have more work to do according to finding 2018-6, and I think that HR admin, if that's the section that needs to go to or whatever, we need to develop a policy for internal purchasing and have some checks and balances in place there. Needs to be done. The other thing is controls over compensated absences. She calls it 2018-7. I think this goes all the way back to 2011. I believe, if I remember right in the management letter, and I'll look it up, I think it's 2011-6. This situation was talked about then. It was brought forward. You switched auditors. The new auditor didn't think it was an issue. Tanya's back. She's still calling this out. Needs to be addressed. We're in the process of doing it with looking at new accounting software for the treasurer's office. I think we do this right, you might be able to eliminate a position down there. Rhonda's getting ready to retire. I think that if we go to a biometric payroll system where there's, whether it's the hand or your ear or something, that we can automate that and probably eliminate a position and a pension legacy in doing so. And it may even free up enough time to address some of the new responsibilities that I heard her office was taking over with what do you call it, the GATCA? Or
GATA,
which is something I'm going to have to learn about. Somebody's going to have to help hold class for me on that one. But anyway, we're going in the right direction, but there's still work to do. And like I said, I don't know what the opposition is to automating the payroll department and going to a biometric time clock system. I'd be interested to know when those elected officials check in, when they check out for lunch, how long they take for lunch. It's not uncommon for them to take very long lunches. And I'm a taxpayer. I think they work for me, and you know, I'd expect them to put in their 8-hour day just like all the rest of the employees. So it's something I feel very strongly about and would encourage you to look into in the process of figuring out what you're going to do with this new accounting system and automate it and make it seamless. And as I said, told you about, I had a company of over 200 employees. It took, the time clock ran from, Friday to Thursday, and they paid on the next day. And it used to take like three people, an incredible amount of time trying to get a payroll ready for all those employees. They went to a biometric payroll system, and it went up to the cloud, it came down to the cloud, the checks got printed, and as long as it took to print the checks, that's how long it took to take care of payroll, which wasn't very long compared to what they used to do when they had a more manual system. So as Dwight has done in his office, using technology to do things that people are doing and eliminate positions with the pension legacy that was discussed during that audit, that it's something that we can look at and take advantage of, and I would encourage you to be creative and think about the future and how we can implement some of this to save us all some money and some pension legacy. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions for the press?
I do have a question.
Jim Wyman, WSPY. Is the we hear about the Kendall County gun range tonight that the sheriff's office maintains and other departments come and shoot at. Is that gun range insured? Because there's a question as to whether there's liability insurance at that gun range. Does the county board chairman and the assistant state's attorney know?
I would ask Mr. Keppel if he would know, the sheriff.
I don't know off the top of my head because it hasn't come up before. I'm going to have to research it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead and let Jim know. Thank you. Any need for executive session at this point?
Second.
Motion to adjourn by Flowers, second by Hendricks.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Liz is on it. I'm here. We're adjourning.
Yeah. Yeah.